Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you from a mild night in Boston, temperature at airtime 70 degrees, after we got through a week or so ago of a heat wave of 3 days or more of 90-degree weather, when I had to use my air conditioner for the first time. But tonight it's just the windows open and 70 degrees. So I want to welcome you to the show. Hope you had a good and safe 2 weeks since we last met. And I have a lot to cover as usual. There's so much in the news. There's never a shortage of things to talk about. And I hope we can talk together and come up with some things that are good for our country and all of us that are living here. By the way, this is the last show of the spring of 2021. Our next show will be on June 27th, 2021 on Blog Talk Radio, and that will be our first show of the summer. And many are expecting it to be a hot summer, and I don't mean just weather-wise, but with all the things that are going on both on a political level, financial level, military level, meteorological level, social level, that it could be something that we will remember. But we again, we take each day as it comes, thank God for it, and pray that we do His will. So I want to let you know that the chat room is open. No one's in there as usual, since it's such a late hour, 11 p.m. here on June the 11th, 2021. And therefore, people are getting ready for work tomorrow. Maybe now with the pandemic waning, we may be getting back to somewhat of a normal work environment, but I have my doubts whether that will be fast in coming, but let's pray that it does, that we get back to a normal life after this year, plus all of pretty much all of 2020 and now half of 2021 of just pandemic, or some call it a plandemic or even a scamdemic. So what do you think? Give me a call, and I want you to call in and give me your name, first name, and what city and state you're calling from. And if you're calling from outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. So we can talk about it, and maybe, as I say in my promo, to come together with a spirited but polite and reasoned dialogues, we may be able to come up with ideas that spread through the country and make for a better and more perfect union, which is our objective as Americans, to form a more perfect union. Sometimes we go backwards. Sometimes we go forwards. But hopefully in the long run we become a more perfect union. So anyway, I'm going to start with the coronavirus pandemic statistics, they do and have done since the pandemic has been a major issue in our country, and I've been reporting them from the website Worldometers. Let me get that exact website for you, because you may want to look it up yourself, doing your due diligence, right? We all have to do our due diligence. We should do our due diligence. So let's see what I have for that. That would be the website www.worldometers.info/, let's see if I can read this, coronavirus, www.worldometers.info/coronavirus, and there you can get all the statistics on a global level and for the country-by-country figures. So I just do the global and the USA and a couple of other comments, but let me start with the global. The total infected as of my recording tonight, it's probably changed, well, it would have changed even since I recorded it earlier. But the total infected is 176,696,650. That's up from 171 million approximately 2 weeks ago. Active cases globally is 12,148,579. And that compares to 14. That's gone down from 14,171,341. So maybe a lot of these cases are that were active have recovered, hopefully recovered. Some may have died. We do have an increase in the deaths since the last program. The figure I have now for deaths in the global scale is 3,818,791 compared to 3,556,210. And the recovered is 160 million. Remember, the total infected is 176 million, but recovered is 160,729,280. On the USA figures, we have an infected of 34,320,775 compared to 2 weeks ago at 34,042,943, so up about less than 300,000. So it seems to be waning somewhat. The active cases, 5,305,656, and that's down from 5,592,515 2 weeks ago. And the deaths in the USA, 615,057, up from 609,547, or approximately 5,000 increase. And the recovered on the USA level is 28,400,062 compared to 27,848,84. So what do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you feel like we now are getting beyond the serious stage? But, you know, as Yogi Berra, the famous Yankee, once said, it ain't over till it's over. So we should still be very careful and take precautions as you see fit and make a decision on the vaccines. I'm going to talk about that now. There have been some negative side effects of increasing on the vaccine story that I'm reading. There are more U.S. deaths related to vaccines in 2021 in less than 5 months than there were the entire past decade. So more U.S. deaths in 2021, were approximately 6 months into 2021, and more in that 6 months than in the 5 months, well, they say in 5 months, than there were in the entire past decade, or 10 years. So we certainly have a problem. The first 3 months in 2021, there's 1,750 deaths. Now, which is 3 months later, it's 5,997. So is that showing positive results from the vaccine? You have to give that your due consideration. Let's see. I want to give you some other figures on the number of countries that have passed the 1 million mark. It was 28 two weeks ago, and it is still at 28, as Pakistan is still short of the 1 million mark by about 50,000, 60,000. And Portugal also is about 150,000 shy, and then followed by Israel and several other countries. So we still, it seems to be waning on a global level. Maybe this is due to the vaccine, but we also have to be concerned about some of the side effects of the vaccine and whether we're not being our optimism is misplaced here, as the side effects could be something that is quite serious. There was a post I wanted to read to you about the vaccine. Let me see if I can find that. I think I need a producer. All right, the headline here on the Gateway Pundit is, shocking jump in vaccine deaths reported this week. At the CDC-linked VAERS tracking website, they have a website called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. The database contains information on unverified reports of adverse event, illnesses, health problems, and or symptoms following immunization with U.S. licensed vaccines. Reports are accepted from anyone and can be submitted electronically at www.vaers.hhs.gov. So there were huge increases over last week. Deaths were up an additional 700 in a week. We'll probably be hearing more about that site as the days go ahead, but it all has to do with the downside of the vaccines. We know many people are opposed to them, called the anti-vaxxers, and of course many have already taken them. Some have taken two doses. So everyone has to make that decision. Okay, another thing I want to talk about is the election audits that are continuing in the various battleground states. In particular, the lead state seems to be Arizona, and they have run into some resistance from certain forces, but hopefully they will be coming out with a report this month, before the end of the month, and hopefully it will show what a lot of us believe happened, that the election was ripe with fraudulent activity. And whether the government wants to admit it or not, many Americans believe it was, probably, I would say at least a third of all Americans, practically everyone believes there was some fraudulent, but when we say fraudulent activity, we mean enough to change the results. The bottom line would be that Donald Trump would be president right now if the type of fraud that we believe occurred did occur. If it did not occur, he would be sitting in the White House. But let us pray that the audits continue and they're done properly and they can be checked. And we need to have this system of checks, and the voting has to have a tracing procedure where it goes back to the American voter who should be legal and eligible to vote. A lot of people believe that they're illegal citizens or people that have died or people that have not become eligible to vote. There was no voter ID. And so if we don't straighten this out, every election going forward, it's going to be ripe with these concerns. So we need to tighten up our election procedures, and a lot of states are in the process of doing that. Hopefully they will get it done and not just talk about it. You need to call your state election people and demand that they clean up the election rolls, that no dead people are on there, and people are properly suited to be able to vote. All right, well, we got big news in the national level. We have in Israel, President Benjamin Netanyahu looks like he will be becoming replaced by a new Israeli from the same party, I believe, but who challenged Netanyahu, and he seemed, from what I gather, he seems to have teamed up with other groups to get enough votes to become the next president. I believe he has already been sworn in, and his name is Natali Bennett. I have never heard of him before, but the Naftali Bennett, he indicated that he plans to continue former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's policies. But Netanyahu has said that Bennett, this is from the Jerusalem Post, said that Bennett does the opposite of what he says, and therefore he won't protect Israel from Iran. Bennett does not have the international stature, the knowledge, the government, or the public trust to be taken seriously when fighting the Iranian threat, he said. An Israeli prime minister has to be able to say no to the president of the U.S. on matters that endanger our existence. I'll be happy if he doesn't come true, if this doesn't come true from the moment the U.S. returns to the Iranian deal. The government will not approve operations against Iran to stop their armament. So they are trying to restore that Iranian deal. And Bennett says that the returning to the Iran deal is a mistake that will once again give legitimacy to one of the most violent, darkest regimes in the world. Israel will not allow Iran to get nuclear weapons. Iran is not a party to the deal and will maintain total freedom of action. I want to read what Netanyahu had to say about President Biden. I can find that on here. He says, I can't seem to find it, but... Well, here it is. An Israeli prime minister has to be able to say no to the president of the United States on matters that endanger our existence. I'll be happy if he doesn't, if it doesn't come true, but from the moment the U.S. returns to the Iran deal, the government will not approve operations against Iran to stop the armament. He compared, he says the administration in Washington asked him not to discuss the his disagreement on Iran publicly, but with all due respect, I can't do that, Netanyahu said. He compared the U.S. returning to the Iran deal to with former President U.S. Franklin Delano Roosevelt declining to bomb the train tracks to Auschwitz when he had the chance. I had never heard that issue before. At the time, Netanyahu said the Jewish people did not have a voice, a country, an army, but now they do. So we got to watch that very closely. These are the geopolitical activities that could involve us and will involve us if, seriously, if they get out of hand and if people make the wrong decisions. All right, let me give you some of the financial issues, financial statistics there. The Dow Jones closed the week at 34,479.60. That's down from 2 weeks ago. Not down much, but down about 100 points. Well, maybe 50 points. The NASDAQ at 14,069.42. That's up, and that's, I think, the interest with the tech stocks that a lot of people, investors, are still bullish on technology. So the NASDAQ closed 14,069.42, and that was up from 13,748.74. The S&P at 4,247.44, and that was up from 4,204.11, about a 40-point increase. Gold closed at 1877.80, which is down from 1903.50. from 2 weeks ago, and silver at 27.92, which is down a penny from 27.93 2 weeks ago. Bitcoin has snapped back a little bit and is approaching 40,000 after being under 35,000 on our show 2 weeks ago. Now, I want to talk a little bit about inflation concerns, and I have an article here that I have a statement here on Forbes that says the government, we've heard a lot of talk about inflation, and I think a lot of us see the prices going up, and we're very concerned. And I'm concerned about the way the government calculates their figures. According to Forbes magazine, the government has changed the way it calculates inflation more than 20 times over the past 30 years. The rate of inflation directly affects so many other things in our system, and the government would like to keep that number as low as possible. So they tinkered and tinkered with the formula until they got it just where they wanted it. Well, this is not good. This is just fooling the people. And, of course, we know the statement of Lincoln, you can fool some of the people all of the time. But I think more and more people are waking up to the to what's going on, and they're starting to say enough is enough of this nonsense. But even with the highly modified formula that they are now using, the rate of inflation still rose at the fastest pace in almost 13 years last month. The Consumer Price Index, which represents a basket including food, energy, housing costs, sales across a spectrum of goods, rose from rose 5% from a year earlier. Economists are very concerned. I've read reports from Druckenmiller, I believe his name is, and a few others. Larry Summers even is saying things that we are that he is becoming concerned, and therefore we need to be concerned about the this issue. Inflation can be deadly or more deadly than taxation. Both of them take your money away from you. One is overtly and the other is sort of covertly. Now, of course, the truth is that consumer prices are not just rising at a 5% rate in the U.S. right now. According to John Williams of ShadowStats.com, and he's been operating that site for many years, I would suggest that you check into it and find out what he's saying. But he says if the rate of inflation was still calculated the way that it was back in 1990, it would be above 8% right now. And if the rate of inflation was still calculated the way that it was back in 1980, it would currently be sitting at about 13%. So the government likes to promote this new calculation of 5%, but many of us are suspect, as we are, as I am, and many others, I believe, are, of all the figures we're getting from our own government, whether from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Treasury Department, the White House, all of the different areas, the CDC. We need to do our due diligence and form our own opinions and then work with those that will get it the way we the people want it. We want the truth. We can handle the truth, as the movie questions. Can you handle the truth? Well, we got 2 minutes left in the live broadcast. I do want to give the real clear average figures for the period from April 17th to May 13th on the approval rate of Joe Biden. The approval rate is 54.2. That's up slightly from 2 weeks ago when it was, this week it's 53.8, which is down from the 54.2. of 2 weeks ago. The disapproval is at 41.1, which is down a little bit from 41.8 2 weeks ago. Now, before we leave for the non-live portion, I want to mention the next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on June 27th, 21. And finally, kudos to Liberty Council and Matt Staver, who have achieved a court victory regard their efforts with regard to securing liberty of worship, freedom of worship, for a church in California. They received a victory, so the battle for the churches and the rights of people who worship is of utmost importance. And Matt Staver says, "We are honored and awed to serve as part of what God is doing for our nation." So that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. God bless you all. And as usual, our closing song. Here we go. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show. And I want to finish up, give a little bit more voice to the incredible victory that Liberty Council had with regard to the freedom of worship. Back on March 19, 2020, Governor Gavin Newsom in California issued a no-worship order. Pastor Shea Ahn, founder of Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena, the staff and parishioners faced daily criminal charges of 1 year in jail and $1,000 in fines every day the Harvest Rock Church remained open. In California, Governor Newsom banned all worship, including in private homes, with anyone who does not live there. Even if only one or two people worship in a church, the punishment is up to a year in prison. This worship ban extended to 99.9% of California. The Pasadena criminal prosecutor wrote this threatening letter to Pastor Shea. This letter is to remind you that violations of these orders are criminal in nature. Each day in violation is a separate violation and carries with it potential punishment of 1 year in jail and a fine for each violation. Any violation in the future will subject your church, your owners, the administrators, the operators, the staff, and the parishioners to the above-mentioned criminal penalties as well as the potential closure of your church. Pastor Shea had to tell anyone who went to the church for worship they could be criminally charged, go to jail, and pay hefty fines. These threats finally ended on May 17th, 2021, just about a month ago, less than a month ago, with our historic victory. In Liberty Council's case against Governor Newsom, we have obtained a permanent statewide injunction prohibiting him and the state of California and any future governor from ever issuing another discriminatory COVID restriction on any church or place of worship. No more church closings, no more capacity limits, no more singing bans, and no more fines, no more threats of prison, no more, not ever. The churches are once again free to be churches, free to worship and minister to people as the Lord leads, not as government dictates. The Constitution has been fully restored and vindicated. This is the first statewide permanent injunction in the nation. We believe it will be followed by many others in numerous other cases that we continue to pursue in Illinois, Kentucky, Maine, Virginia, and elsewhere. Coast to coast, Liberty Council is determined to ensure that the constitutional violations we have witnessed over the last years will never be repeated against the church. It has taken 1 year of vigorous and aggressive litigation in multiple courts, including the Supreme Court, to permanently quarantine Governor Newsom from ever trampling on churches again. Our team has invested thousands of hours into this case alone, working through the night on weekends and holidays. Over the past year, Governor Newsom imposed the most egregious church restrictions in the nation, banning all worship and singing, and even banning Bible studies and worship in homes. I mean, this is unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to become aware. Those of you who are not aware of it have got to smell the coffee and start waking up. There's really basically what many of us have concluded is that Marxism is behind all this. Marxism is basically communism, totalitarianism, whatever word you want to give to it, but it is not what the Founding Fathers gave us, and we need to fight always against it and make sure it doesn't advance its grip on our country. So again, this is great for Liberty Council, and I believe now Newsom is required to send Liberty Council a check for $1.35 million to reimburse them for a portion of the enormous investment we had to make to defend these churches in California. This will help them to defend more churches. And I would like to urge you to send Liberty Council a donation, or at the very least, words of encouragement and congratulation. Congratulations on this victory, and you can do that at www.lc.org. So they are fighting a pro bono law firm, and there are others too. There's Thomas More Society, First Liberty, and the Alliance Defending Freedom are all fighting the good fight on the legal front. And it seems like when the losers are the Marxist crowd and Antifa people and the violent crowd don't get their way, they take a temper tantrum and resort to violence, or they resort to the legal system if they have installed in their judges that and legal elected officials that see them in a good light instead of in a light that is in line with our laws. As Amy Coney Barrett says, she will make her decisions without fear or favor. So we have to have good judges, good prosecutors, good attorney generals, and we do have many, but we need to have more. And President Trump did do his best to install many, many judges while he was in for 4 years. And they hopefully will do things that are in line with our Constitution. So what else do I have here? I want to play a clip. A while back I read a story about the flag officers speaking out about their concern for our country and what they see also as a march toward Marxism or adoption of Marxism, especially in our public schools. We need to spend time on our schools, and possibly the coronavirus might have been the best thing for the kids of the public school because they weren't propagandized with this Marxism indoctrination. But parents need to wake up and find a way to remove their kids. I know it's not easy. I'm not faced with that problem, but I believe that I would not send any child to a public school, even though they're some of them may not be that bad. There's probably all different types of public schools, just like there are private schools. And we are concerned with our universities also and the private universities and what their professors are teaching in those universities and colleges. So we have to check. We don't seem to check things out enough. As Ben Franklin says, "I have given you a republic if you can keep it." Well, I would question whether we've kept it very well. All right, let me play this clip from Dr. Chaps, who has his view on the Army generals and admirals that are concerned, retired generals and admirals who are concerned about the direction our country is heading. So here we go, Dr. Chaps. Of PrayInJesusName.org.
Reports 124 former generals of the have now signed an open letter declaring that Joe Biden is not a legitimate president. More than 120 retired U.S. generals and admirals published an open letter saying not only was Joe Biden not legitimately elected as president, but they also questioned his current fitness for office, stating mental health issues. The letter, signed by 124 retired members of the armed forces, called themselves Flag Officers for America. And they said that America is in deep peril, having taken a hard left turn towards socialism and Marxism is now a new form of tyrannical government. Here are some excerpts from the letter signed by these generals. Quote, "Without fair and honest elections that accurately reflect the will of the people, our constitutional republic is lost. And claimed that the FBI and Supreme Court ignored irregularities in 2020, the group also questioned the physical and mental condition of the commander-in-chief and claimed that questions had been raised about who was really in charge. It also touched on the southern border situation, the Iran nuclear deal, freedom of speech, and China. The U.S. signatories, most of whom have been retired for more than two decades, said that soldiers today are being used, quote, as political pawns, with thousands of troops deployed around the U.S. Capitol building, patrolling fences, guarding against a non-existent threat. We are in a fight for our survival as the Constitutional Republic, like no other time since our founding in 1776. The conflict is between supporters of socialism and Marxism, institutional freedom and liberty, end quote. And that's the news, or thanks to Yahoo News for that report. Thank God that some retired generals are making sense. Now, this group of conservative former generals and admirals may be discerning the spirit of God. I'm not going to speak for them. I don't know their names. But I will observe that there is something unusual about this particular president, Joe Biden. And whether you voted for him or not, whether you believe he won legitimately the election or not, there is sort of a distance that Joe Biden has set between himself and the public. You've already seen it during the campaign, right? And it was a shock that he won the election, honestly, because he campaigned from his basement in Delaware. And when he went out in public, there were no crowds that you might have seen, 10 news reporters on a lawn sitting inside their little circles. Again, very distant. And Joe would read from his teleprompter and then go back home to his basement. Now, as president, our own White House reporter, Anthony Harper, is observing a very similar pattern, that Biden himself is hidden behind a stack of staffers. He rarely, if ever, comes out. When he has been seen behind the scenes, he's wandering around kind of aimlessly, muttering to himself with his head down. Many of his public statements are confusing. And he doesn't seem to have a grasp on anything except his own signature, which he applies liberally to dozens and dozens of executive orders written by all the smart liberal lawyers that are surrounding him. Is he being controlled? Is he sort of a puppet president? Well, I'll let you decide. Here's what the Bible says in Colossians 2. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ.
All right, very wise words, Dr. Chaps. And with that, I'm coming to the end of the broadcast. And I want to thank everybody for coming or listening. And if you didn't get it live, you can look it up on the website, blogtalkradio.com, and money and other things financial. So good night. God bless you all. And I'll close with a regular closing song. Good night, everyone.